You are listening to an ADIS Journal podcast.
Hello, my name is Dr. Jonathan Rich, and I am an associate professor of medicine in the Division of Cardiology at Northwestern University in Chicago, Illinois, and I am a board-certified expert in heart failure cardiology.
My name is Hyvel Ferguson Davis. I'm from North Lauderdale, Florida. I'm also the founder of HeartSisters, an organization that's focusing on increased awareness of heart health for underrepresented women.
That's terrific. Thank you for joining me today, Hyvel. I thought we can initiate a conversation here with you perhaps telling all of us, how did you first find out that you had type 2 diabetes as well as other heart problems?
Thank you for that important question, Dr. Rich. I was diagnosed whilst I was pregnant. However, I had symptoms prior to me even being diagnosed or seeking medical attention. I went on to have a stroke and shortly after heart attack, which ultimately led to a quadruple bypass surgery.
Wow, that must have been very, very difficult, especially during what's supposed to be a very happy time, such as a pregnancy. Can you tell me about what kind of symptoms you did have, as well as why did you not seek treatment? I'd also like to know, when you were diagnosed with diabetes, did your physician or other caregivers, did they ever inform you about the link between diabetes and potential heart problems?
Before being diagnosed with diabetes, I experienced a plethora of symptoms. I had the frequent urination, incontinence issue, which I was really embarrassed about. I was always thirsty, and I had blurred vision. But I brushed off the symptoms because I was kind of young, and I was going through life, you know, with a family, a caretaker. Going to the doctor wasn't really something that I do. Annual checkups was something I really didn't look forward to. And this is commonly done in an African-American community where people delay treatment. Family history also presents itself because my mother, my father, and even my grandmother were diabetic. But we never talked about it in our family. I had no idea of the link between stroke and heart attack. There was a lack of communication that I had to deal with. Being diagnosed with diabetes and a cardiac condition was a huge blow for me. I felt like the whole world was turned upside down. I was shattered and anxious about my future, constantly worrying about the potential implications. It felt like I was mourning and lost of a life, trying to come to terms with this new reality I was facing. You know, my physicians were there and they encouraged me somewhat, but it was a lot of support that I needed that wasn't there. So definitely I was in a struggle trying to understand and manage these conditions. Every day seemed extremely challenging. It was a constant battle of not knowing the symptoms or dealing with the other stuff that can happen. So I was trying to just motivate myself to push forward daily, trying to navigate. And it's overwhelming for a person who does not even understand the language that's associated. But in the end, I learned to cope with the life that I had to face and deal with it. But I was determined that I needed more information. Therefore, I was willing to fight.
Wow. Thank you for sharing those experiences. It is clear from what you described that we really need to do a better job as doctors, and in fact, even as an entire country, to improve education about these topics. When a patient is diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, there are really two main focuses. One is to ensure that the diabetes itself, referred to as the glycemic control, or AKA the sugar levels, are well controlled, because this will help prevent a number of medical problems down the road. However, what is sometimes overlooked would be that even if the sugars are well controlled, patients with type 2 diabetes remain at significantly increased risk of future issues, such as the things you talked about, heart attacks, strokes, and even heart failure. It is thus really imperative as physicians and as a healthcare community that we work diligently to control other risk factors that may be present in addition to the diabetes, such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, excess body weight, and of course, counseling patients to quit smoking. The risk factors for heart disease, which we often call cardiovascular disease or abbreviate as CVD, include the very things I mentioned: hypertension, diabetes, smoking, and obesity. And as you made reference, there is an increased prevalence of CVD in the African American community. I'll give you an example. African American adults are 30% more likely to have hypertension, high blood pressure, and 60% more likely to have been diagnosed with diabetes when compared to non-Hispanic white adults. Moreover, African American women are approximately 50% more likely to have hypertension compared with non-Hispanic white women. Compared with other U.S. population groups, African American women have higher rates of obesity or being overweight. And these are risk factors not only for diabetes, but also, as we've been mentioning, cardiovascular disease. And then finally, I mentioned a very frightening word, heart failure. Heart failure is when the heart is not able to pump enough blood to the entire body, or to do so, has to do it in an abnormal way in which patients can fill up with excess fluid and have symptoms such as shortness of breath. Well, when heart failure develops in anyone, but even more so in African Americans, their outcomes are even worse compared to their white counterparts. And so, while it's great that we have done the research to know all of this information that I just mentioned, I think we now need to do a better job of implementing the care and its delivery to all patients, but especially African American patients who are at really increased risk.
Like you said, Dr. Rich, this is why I'm so passionate about what I do, because we are disproportionately affected in our community. This highlights the need for increased education so that we can understand the risk factors, particularly within our African American community.
Yeah, that's right. Hi, Val, you have clearly experienced some frightening heart complications. As a cardiologist, my continued efforts would be to try to reduce the risk of any subsequent stroke or heart attacks and really focus diligently on prevention of heart failure. Since you have or have experienced some of these conditions, can you tell me what medications you are currently taking to treat your heart conditions?
Yes, and this is something I had to really understand. I take metformin, empagliflozin, clonidine, isoflurane, metoprolol, lisinopril, and amlodipine to manage my diabetes and heart-related conditions, such as angina and hypertension.
Wow. In addition to simply having to take these medicines, it's just as difficult to pronounce them, right? I don't know how you were able to do that. Metformin, empagliflozin, clonidine, isosorbide, metoprolol, lisinopril, amlodipine. That seems like a lot to manage, and I appreciate you sharing all of that with me. Because of your other conditions and the fact that you've experienced a stroke as well as a heart attack, reviewing that long list, believe it or not, you may also even benefit from taking a medication in the group that we call a statin, or maybe even an antiplatelet agent, such as a baby aspirin. But I think we can defer adding some more medications to your list for another time or when you sit down with your physician to review. So let's pivot for a second now, and let's talk about what we call guideline-directed medical therapy, or GDMT. This is a term we use when we are caring for patients who have been diagnosed with heart failure. You said that you're receiving a medicine called empagliflozin or empagliflozin. In the pharmacology world, this is a medication that would be referred to as a sodium glucose transport 2 or SGLT2 inhibitor. What's really interesting is these medications were actually first developed for type 2 diabetes, which you have, but through a variety of rigorous clinical studies, it was determined that these medications also help people who have cardiovascular disease as well as kidney disease. In fact, their impact in the clinical trials were so robust that it was determined that even patients who do not even have diabetes would benefit from these therapies. These SGLT2 inhibitors have been shown to be an effective heart failure treatment, again, irrespective of the presence of diabetes, and they are a recommended therapy in patients who have chronic heart failure across the entire spectrum of ejection fraction. That's a term that some people are aware of. They will see it sometimes on their echocardiogram reports. But an ejection fraction is an approximate measurement of how much blood the heart is able to pump out. And some patients have a normal ejection fraction, but can still experience heart failure and heart failure symptoms. Other patients' ejection fractions may be lower. Now, in terms of reducing the risk of heart failure in those who are at risk of developing it, like yourself, Hyvel, best we can tell, thankfully, you do not have heart failure, even though you have risk factors. Using medications to control blood pressure and also some of the other medicines we mentioned earlier are going to be really important. We also want to focus on reducing risk through lifestyle modifications, through good diet and exercise and smoking cessation. In addition to the SGLT2 inhibitors, there is clear evidence that other therapies in the classes such as angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, known as ACE inhibitors, angiotensin receptor blockers, known as ARBs, a class of medications that are a combination of angiotensin receptor blockers and neprilysin inhibitors, and a class called beta blockers can all be beneficial and effective. And these are recommended for use in certain patients, not all, of course, per the discretion of your physician. So that's a lot to take in, but it's also, I think, a testament that our field has come so far that we now have so many proven therapies to offer patients to first and foremost try to prevent disease, but when it occurs, to then try to manage it, and treat it, and allow our patients to live very long, good quality lives.
I'm glad you stressed the importance of lifestyle modification. I am so passionate about healthy lifestyle because I had to go there and understand that I had to take my medication, but it also takes healthy eating and being proactive to prevent other stuff from happening. So after my stroke and the heart attack, I went on my own personal journey, which included learning about nutrition, learning about medication, changing my lifestyle to reduce my chances, such as my sodium intake, my fat intake, and trying to get my diet on a healthy track so that I can lower my blood glucose levels. And it helped me manage the diabetes and hypertension and overall heart health.
Yeah, Hyvel, I really do agree with those key points that you just mentioned. As I mentioned earlier, controlling the other medical conditions that are present, other comorbidities like hypertension, diabetes, obesity, this is hugely important for reducing the risk of future cardiovascular events, again, like heart attacks, and reducing the risk of heart failure. When we talk about lifestyle modifications, we don't typically mean taking medications, which are really, really important. But what we really mean by this are stopping smoking, avoiding excess alcohol or any substance abuse, regularly exercising in order to maintain overall cardiac fitness. And in addition to this, I think we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives and we don't get enough sleep. And sleep deprivation has been associated with hypertension, coronary heart disease, and diabetes. And then, as you also made reference to salt and fluid, if you have high blood pressure or already have heart failure, reducing salt intake can also really help with both of those conditions. So these are things that I'm really glad that you and I are highlighting. Something that is evident in your story as well, Hyvel, is that patients are often having to manage multiple medical conditions at the same time. And because of this, patients are likely having to engage with the healthcare system at many different time points and places. And in speaking to my patients, this can sometimes be very overwhelming. What are your thoughts on that?
That's so important and a really good point to bring up because managing the complex of heart health can be often considered really overwhelmed. It's a huge lifestyle change that the person undertakes. You're taking multiple medication, don't understand what they are for, and also spend a lot of time with healthcare appointments, which also leads to treatment fatigue and patients not sticking to medication and lifestyle changes.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. Low medication adherence, we know, is a common problem. And we need to do a better job at probably explaining to patients why we're prescribing what we are. When there is low adherence to meds, the studies definitely show worse outcomes in patients who have cardiovascular disease. In fact, research shows that even patients who are initially adherent to their medication, their adherence typically will reduce over time. And studies in patients with heart failure show that improving medication adherence, using a variety of interventions to improve patient education, provide support outside the hospital, all of these things, when added together, can significantly reduce the risk of hospitalizations and even death. So, along those lines, can you perhaps get even more specific? Tell me about your own experience when it has come to managing the challenges of this big and at times overwhelming healthcare system when you have multiple medical conditions.
After my stroke and heart attack, I knew I had to fight for my life and my health. And the journey of living healthy lifestyle started right there because I wanted to live. It all started with diabetes. I kind of understood that. I had no idea about the link between heart disease and diabetes. It wasn't really made clear to me by my doctors. This system is completely complicated. You can't imagine how difficult it was for somebody who's been newly diagnosed. Think about the financial burden of going to specialist appointment or even understanding what specialist you need to see or afford the different medication that I needed to live. It was complex to deal with the entire system. And I think many people on this journey give up. My doctor then was trained to do what he could do to better support my situation. But I believe that if we work together, we can improve. I felt like previous experience with doctors, lack of empathy, understanding the social economic context led to feeling overlooked and undertreated. And that did not stick with me well because I was still at risk. Support from my family and community and church members were awesome. I think government affairs can do more to meet specific needs. It's important to lift a burden that one carry, especially dealing with underlying issues. I think government agencies should work with organizations to provide funding to search for smaller community settings to meet them at the grassroots levels. It is important for patients to understand that information is totally there, but it needs to be where the patients are needed. This is why I became an ambassador for the campaign No Diabetes by Heart and the campaign that was put on by the American Heart Association and the American Diabetic Association aimed to reduce cardiovascular deaths, heart disease, stroke, and heart failure in people that are living with type 2 diabetes. This provided many great resources to both patients and healthcare professionals too.
You raised some really important points, some of which could be almost distilled down to it really does take a village, doesn't it? I think, it's really important that patients and their family members have an opportunity to take hold of their own conditions and partner with their physicians. The second thing that we have to understand and even do a better job of is reiterating the link between heart disease, kidney disease, and type 2 diabetes. Because each of these entities are complex in their own right, and they are interlinked in terms of one affecting the other, care is usually provided by multidisciplinary teams, right? Expert cardiologists, nurses, and pharmacists who may specialize in heart failure, dietitians, mental health clinicians, and social workers, given how overwhelming and anxiety-provoking some of this can be. Primary care physicians and clinicians go without saying how important they are and integral to the overall care of patients. But again, bringing into the fold other specialists such as endocrinologists and nephrologists, It is all very important, but it all can make things more complex if we don't have a framework in which we can all be working together and communicating effectively. Cardiovascular risk can really be an under-recognized major complication of type 2 diabetes. And it's important that clinicians other than cardiologists, including endocrinologists, primary care physicians, are well aware of this, because we have to also make sure that these diagnoses are not delayed and appropriate treatments can be initiated. We reference SGLT2 inhibitors. They are a great example of a class of medications that represent an important intersection between primary care, cardiology, endocrinology, and other specialists who all need to work together for our patients who have diabetes or even don't have diabetes but are at risk of developing heart failure. The group as a whole needs to work to reduce cardiovascular risk, as well as to not forget about managing potential adverse events from these types of therapies, such as hypoglycemia, if sugars go too low, or even something that we call diabetic ketoacidosis. I'll make one more point in highlighting that the recent heart failure guidelines really emphasize the importance of this concept of coordinated collaborative care for our patients at risk of heart failure, including preventative measures, collaboration between physicians among different specialties, but also very importantly, to be partnering with the patients themselves as that center grounding point. So I think that is a key message from your story too, Hyvel. And as we are getting ready to wrap up here soon, do you have any concluding remarks?
My main take-home message for people living with heart problems is that living a quality of life depends on being proactive. By being aware of the risk factors can impact your health, you can take steps to preserve the quality of your life. Many individuals mistakenly believe that they have no control over their outcome relating to heart disease, diabetes, and other illnesses. But I firmly believe that knowledge is power, and anyone can control their quality of life. For doctors, the practical term of patient-centered care means treatment plans to fit a person's lifestyle and fostering a collaboration relationship between healthcare provider and patients. Patient-centered care recognizes that healthcare is not a one-size-fit, but rather being tailored to meet the unique needs of each individual.
Well, thank you, Hyvel, for sharing your story and for talking to me today. I think we would all agree that this has provided valuable insight into the many heart-related challenges of type 2 diabetes. So I really appreciate you joining me today, and I thank all of you for listening.
You can listen to more podcasts by subscribing to ADIS Journal Podcasts with your preferred podcast provider or by visiting the journal website. For a full list of declarations, including funding and author disclosure statements and copyright information, please visit the article page on the journal website. The link to the article page can be found in the podcast description.